After experiencing the transformative power of a regular meditation practice, it's natural to feel inspired to share this gift and guide others on their own journey of discovery through meditation. Join Buddhist teacher David Nichtern and Duncan Trussell, comedian and creator of the Netflix animated series The Midnight Gospel, for a free online event on Tuesday, May 7th at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. They'll discuss the profound practices of mindfulness in Dharma Moon's renowned mindfulness meditation teacher training program. Get certified by Dharma Moon to teach meditation, lead group practice sessions, and work with individual students. Visit dharmamoon.com/beherenow for more info and to reserve your spot for the free online event with David Nichtern and Duncan Trussell.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. With social gatherings picking up now that spring is here, it can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin. So what's the right amount of socializing for you? Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. It's a great way to build relationship skills, figure out your goals, and so much more. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/BeHereNow today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BeHereNow. Walking each other home is an exploration of the many ways we cultivate wisdom, compassion, and love in our lives. Mirabai Bush talks with some of her many diverse friends about what they're learning now from their spiritual paths and practices. If you would like to support this podcast, please visit BeHereNowNetwork.com/Mirabai.
Hi, everyone. This is Mirabai. Welcome to Walking Each Other Home. And today we have two amazing people who will be sharing with us. Leohu Ryder is a Hawaiian spiritual teacher, visionary singer, songwriter, healer, and educator. And along with her partner, Maydeen, they are Kumu Aloha, emissaries of aloha, I love that phrase, and advocates for the indigenous soul in all people. That, what a gift. Their love and knowledge of Hawaii help us connect with ourselves, with spirit, and with the essence of aloha, which we'll talk about. And I'm in Western Massachusetts in the foothills of the Berkshires on Pocomtuk land. And we three have been part of Ram Dass's Maui retreats together for many years. And Leohu and Maydeen created, I call it, the vessel of aloha spirit at the beginning and ending of each five-day retreat, allowing us to absorb the spirit of aloha while we were meditating and doing yoga and listening to Ram Dass and chanting with Krishna Das. It was all held in aloha, and they made that gift to us year after year. So I thought we might just start with a little talking about Ram Dass, how you knew him, what teaching with him was like for you. He loved you, I know that. And he was so honored that you were there for those retreats. You once told me that Ram Dass was held in Maui's arms. So anything you might want to share about that would be great for people to hear.
I believe, you know, Maui was Ram Dass's final physical stop, being held in the arms of Maui. And being here, it feels like he was here to bask in aloha, to feel the unrestricted or the the deep honoring and resonance of a loving way, like the ocean waves, or like the beautiful soft breezes from the ocean, or the winds, the fierce winds, the makani in our language. Being with him was really a gift that blessed us constantly, his presence and the fertilizing essence of the spirit of Aloha really blended well and held him in the womb of Maui. And so Maydeen and I were very blessed to be able to be a part of our global Ohana, our global family, our global Ram Dass family, building bridges or helping us remember love. And I remember having conversations, and I remember this feeling about that Maharaji sent him to Maui to feel Aloha, to touch Aloha. And so, Maydeen and I are just two representatives on this Aloha planet.
Of course.
And in the universe. But we, with our kumu, our teacher, Auntie Mahilani Poipoi, who was like our spiritual mother, we first met Ram Dass when he first arrived in 2004. We had gathered together to honor him because he was having a satsang at the Studio Maui at the time. And this is how we were introduced, I can remember in that way, to him, where we offered the blessings of Aloha, the chants, the welcoming, set the tone of spirit, set the Maui embrace, warmth of Maui through Auntie Mahilani Poipoi. So being with him was like, being with a comfortable blanket also.
That's great.
There are so many people in our lives that, or places in our lives that it's like that call us under the warmth of the imagery of a blanket. And so he was very much like that. We got to participate from the very first time when Mike Kroll contacted us, and we began to, he began to coordinate or organize gatherings. And then it got, bigger and bigger and bigger in the pond, in the blanket of Maui and the blanket of Aloha. And we just kind of dance together, in this beautiful way of love, from Hawaii Island a couple times to Maui, and then of course as it began to expand, we got to play at Napili Kai as well, where many people got to come and feast in Aloha, in the spirit.
That is what it felt like, a feast, and still.
Yes.
You know what I loved about that retreat?
Tell me.
Well, one of the things is that people come together from diversity, all of it. And we can be, talking and catching up with each other and revisiting and loving each other. And soon as Ram Dass enters, there's a silence.
Yeah.
There's
true.
A silence.
It's true.
You don't have to go, Silence. And that's all he had to be. Silent. He'd come in silent, sit on stage, and everybody would fall in love with himself.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He didn't have to say anything. He just had to sit there to remind us that we are him. Mm-hmm. We are each other. And that was the great mirror for me. The great moment with him. And all of you, we got to meet you, Mirabai, and Jack, and all these beloveds, but also the people that came was from different places and all getting along. Isn't that lovely?
Yeah.
Right on the beach at Napilikai.
I know.
Wow. And also, we got to go to Napilikai. So what a gift. Yeah, what a blessing. Right. For us, right? Right. Oh my
exactly.
God.
Right. Really. Yeah. I yes, love the way you describe that.
The retreat was 10, maybe 12 years. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Incredible. Incredible. And the energy, right? Mm. Even the employees that
yes.
work at
yes. would yeah. say, and I grew to love those employees.
Isn't that awesome?
Really? Wow. We'd get back there and I'd see one of the waiters and my heart would just leap, you know. Oh, we're back in the place where we're so happy. Yeah.
Building relationships. Oh, my God.
Yes. Yeah. When you were describing Ram Dass and love, I remembered... arriving each time, you know, I'd be there a few times a year, but just going in the first moments, and usually he'd be at the table, you know, at the dining table there. And I'd go in and he'd turn around and then he'd look at me with just, and you know, I knew him for 50 years, but he'd just look at me and just, he'd just be beaming. And it was as if he saw the most wonderful person in the world. And I thought, oh my God, it's me.
Yeah. He had that, you know, he had that way, you know.
Yeah.
Like we needed to feel that.
Right? Yeah.
We needed yes. to feel that.
We always need to feel it.
Yeah. Yeah. So lovely. And, you know, I'm just kind of thinking about, you know, Ram Dass being here on Maui and how, you know, we spent time in some of our sacred sites, you know, the sacred land where
yes.
prayers
yeah, have been, I wanted to ask
our
you
temples.
About
and I remember when he was here on our land or on the land or at Kukui Puka, he would just simply surrender in awe. Mm. In one with the universe, and he would exclaim, you know, this is why I came to Maui. Mm. And he would just weep. Mm-hmm. He wept. And when he would come here, the wind, Ram would come, the Makani would come, Maharaji would be with us, and he would deeply feel it. And it just was such a softening. It was just a deep, soft, gentle surrender into the womb of Aloha. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Aloha is compassion and grace and forgiveness and love. And we simply have Aloha in Hawaii, but there's every culture has love. Every culture has this. Mm. But it just so happened that, you know, he was here to really to magnify it.
Yeah.
You know, when I was meditating this morning, I was thinking about, you know, why is it that Hawaii attracts so many?
Mm.
this spirit, you know, you're intoxicated
yes.
just by the thought of Hawaii. And people come here to feel themselves. And And many are here from diversity, from diverse cultures, coming to touch themselves, to be in the blanket of Maui. And I know that, you know, we are here because of aloha, because of this. It's never gonna be broken. Aloha, love is something that can never ever diminish. And that is truth. The absolute truth is love, is aloha. And this spirit that is endless, this container, this welcoming, this awareness of the embodiment, the physical embodiment of our land, the landscape that oozes aloha, that fills our senses with the magic of such beauty. It enlivens our spirit and reminds us of who we are and where we come from, which is the one, the great I am, the great love. And so, you know, being with Ram Dass just kind of magnified and exemplified that. And bringing diversity together, say, you know, Maydeen and I as representatives of Maui and Ram Dass, who brought these magnificent teachings to the West, you know, filtered through every fabric of our community, you know, like the cellular embodiment of all that is. We got to magnify it here in these beautiful isolated islands that were untouched for thousands of years, you know, and people needing to get along in aloha in order to create a society of honoring the dignity of all life.
Yes.
So to me, you know, Ram Dass, his choice, whatever it was, his soul choice to be here, as our soul choice to be here, just blended into one whenever we saw him or whenever our brothers and sisters from across the ocean came here. That was always magnified. And we get to spread it wherever we go, all of us, each of us. That's what, you know, he did for me in his beautiful way, in his humor, in his innocence.
Yes.
His childlike awe. And we would, the three of us, we would just giggle.
That was our meeting.
When we got together, we'd be just giggling, laughing, crying. Yeah. We would talk, but it was just giggle bubbles constantly.
Words were not necessary.
Yeah.
I know you know this.
Oh, Lee, can you share when we were at Kukui Puka and when he realized he said that he was home? Because you were there.
Okay. We had taken him for the very first time to Kukui Puka, and you know, Dasi had driven him and
describe
it and what a heiau is.
Okay.
So people will know.
A heiau is a temple. It's like a church. It's a place of honoring and worship. It is in Hawaii. It is, there are many sacred places. I mean, to us, the whole earth is a heiau, you know, is a temple. Mm-hmm. It's to be honored, the whole universe. But throughout Hawaii, there were places of worship. And so many years ago, Maydeen and I were called to restore this sacred temple by the name of Kukui Puka, which means the doorway to the light. And so many years we have been its caretakers. And this is a place of healing and a place of making peace with oneself. And when people needed to have a space to clean themselves, to taste and, you know, touch forgiveness and come into harmony and balance, they would come to certain temples called pu'uhonuas, places of refuge, places of peace. And we have them all over the islands. Even those that have been destroyed or desecrated, that essence continues to be, to enliven us, because it is the taproot that we know so fiercely and so graciously. So as the caretakers of Kukui Puka, Ram Dass came because we were doing prayers. We would do different ceremonies, and he came. And as soon as he wanted to walk, so he was being helped. He was literally like a pilgrim coming up there. It was the most amazing feeling to witness this, that he was so fiercely, you know, he was going to walk. He was going to walk, even if he had to crawl, but he got up.
Amazing.
And so he was assisted, but once he got there, this blanket, this blanket came over him, this feeling, and he just cracked open, and he says, "This is why I have been on Maui for a while, but this is the first time I understand now why I am here, why I came, what my purpose." And he, in our language, full uwe. It was like a fountain of a release, and a remembering, and tears, and cracked open, and he could feel everything. He could feel infinite grace. He could feel all his ancestors, all, you know, his guru, Maharaji, everything. He just cracked into that deep love. And he just kept saying, it was such overwhelm. He had never experienced this authentic aloha.
Yes. And the words he said was, "I am home.
I am home.
I am home.
Ooh. You walked him home.
I am home." And it just sealed us. Mm-hmm. That, you know, we weren't the same after that in looking at each other. And you don't have to be, you know, we all carry these moments in our heart. They tune us back into our heart. And these are seeded memories in our awareness that forever captured in that moment. And you don't have to see this beloved all the time to know of this amazing connection and this heightened deep integration of love and compassion. And understanding that no matter how we journeyed to Kukui Puka, to that moment, that we all came together, we made that commitment to meet, to dance, you know, our souls dancing in love, so that we could feed the people, honor the people, love the people.
And have fun.
And have fun at the same time.
Yes.
Have fun.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for that. Really, thank you. That's so beautiful. Really, I thinking about him and home as you speak, I realize I experienced him more at home in Hawaii than any place else. Of course, when we were in India with Maharaji, you know, but it was almost like outside time and place, you know, it was in another realm. And it wasn't so much India was the home. It was Maharaji was the home, you know. But the only other place where he came close was used to spend summers on Martha's Vineyard, which is an island and a treasure of an island. And in the North Atlantic, of course, which makes it somewhat different from the South Pacific. But no trade winds. But he loved it there. And but I have never known him to be at home. And, you know, I'd spend hours with him in his room upstairs while we were writing the book. And he was just completely content, just looking out over the water and over the palm trees. And what a gift, really. He had come home. Yep. He was in the right place. And he didn't like decide to be there. You know, well, you know the story. I mean, he went there to do a retreat, and he got so sick he couldn't leave for some time. And then by the time that was over, he never left. I said to him, you know, Ram Dass, a lot of people come here and then they say, I am never leaving. I'm never leaving Maui. But I said, you actually did it.
True.
Yeah.
True. Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, just thinking about him being there at that hail, you once told me that you understand Maui at Haleakala, but maybe more than that, as a portal. And sometimes you talk about portals within ourselves, but say something about Maui and being a portal. I love that.
Well, the you want to speak to that, maybe?
Go ahead, I'll add to what you say.
So Maui or Haleakala is a beautiful, huge, majestic portal. And it aligns, you know, it pulsates. It's one of, I would say it's the number one portal on the planet. And it signals possibilities, intentionality, connection. And it aligns when we are able to open our heart with love and grace and honoring the divinity within, setting the intention. Between the ticks and talks, we're able to slip into this current of this expanded vibration. And this portal supports that inner portal, that inner awareness that's helping us navigate our personal frequency that's creating, you know, whatever is our intention creates outside of ourselves. So it's a pulse. And on many levels, many of us are attracted to that. No matter where we are, you know, and sometimes people say, oh, that one's not conscious, that one is. It doesn't matter. It is a portal. And it touches all of us, this particular frequency. And so this portal is very much a part of our everyday vitamin activation. And it also connects with everything else on our Honua, our beloved planet. And so, you know, when we're in that rhythm or when we're in that alignment, all these landscapes throughout our beautiful universe begin to speak to each other, because all landscape, as you know, including the portals, they're all sacred. Mm-hmm. They're all the body of our mother. And the energy of that is the same energy as us, or the same energy in a feather or a blade of grass or the living waters. So this speaks to that, that portal speaks to the portal of our divine loving nature. Mm. And I'm reminded of all the times I spent with Ram Dass in his space, in his living space, mm-hmm. in Maui, in Haiku, and how, you know, it opened and for hours he could sit there. And I remember coming to bless that space several times throughout the years. And it was as if the portal of the universe would open up. You could see the stars. You could see the different things coming in. And even when you were with him, his eyes were just 360 plus. And I know you know this because it was there, that space, that his essence was there. And he was in all those multiple realms, because that's, like, for him was his launching pad. And it all connects, you know, from the mountain to the sea, or from Haleakala, that body of the portal moving out, you know, across. So I'm reminded of that this moment as well. Mm. Yeah, the significance of that placement where his body was placed.
Yes.
And his infinite connection to all that is in that space, you know. And I think about the times at Napilikai where he'd be on stage with all the, you know, the beloved presenters, and he'd just be there, you know, in that beautiful I am loving awareness. But I knew he was, like, in the portals. He was all over the, he was all in the portals. He was, he was all over. And then different ones would have the conversation on stage.
Yeah.
And then somebody would say, "Isn't that right, Ram Dass?" Or, "What do you say, Ram Dass?" And then it would be a moment. It would be his cue to return to his body. And then he'd slip back. And then he would say something to, you know, funny about himself that would just break all the philosophical glass and just bring it right down to the essence of love and compassion. And just to witness this, it was amazing for him to come down and then, "Oh, what were we talking?" And it would just disarm, you know, and melt the heart, just melt us all into, you know, wow, we get to feast with this beloved. All he got to do is stay on the stage, enter the infinite one, and then come back and give us an exclamation point.
Yes. Because he'd be off playing good with Hanuman and all his beloveds.
It'd be so beautiful to witness. And I remember people reading what he would say, all quotes and, you know, discussing this and that. And then, Ram Dass, boom, he coming back.
Yeah.
He'd be gone for a while. Everybody waiting for, you know, just waiting. Oh. Waiting for open sesame. And there he would arrive, and he would never, ever disappoint.
Oh, gosh.
He was so authentic and so life-giving to us. You know, he fed he fed us with life force. Yeah, beautiful, you know, like a mango, you know, like a pineapple, I don't know, something like a lily koi, passion fruit. Yes. Just think of the fruit you like, and that's it.
It was magic, you know?
Yeah. I mean, yes, it was
magic. Talk
about
portals. Wherever he was
all you have to look at was his eyes.
Yeah.
Look at his beautiful eyes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The way he,
wow. And you just went. And, you know, if we could only train ourselves to look at each other's eyes in that way,
mm-hmm.
to, because, you know, he would speak of that also, that, you know, you would enter something. And many times we only look with eyes of judgment, and we're not willing to look beyond what we're actually being invited to enter in anybody's portal, eyes, the portals of their eyes. And I love that because, you know, even for myself personally, you know, how Ram Dass says, the only thing we can do is love and work on ourselves. That's all there is, right?
Mm-hmm.
And to polish ourselves as diamonds in the rough, or, you know, sandpaper the wood. And boy, we got plenty practice.
Yes.
We got plenty practice.
Yep.
Constant practice. You know, till today, till now.
Yes. Yes.
I know we speak of Maui, but I've had a lot of practice we've all had a lot of practice with over tourism, I'm going to say.
Good, yes.
You know, Maui, the portal of Maui, or the heartbeat of Maui, or Hawaii,
mm-hmm.
everybody hears it, feels it. And, you know, for those of Hawaii, it's a very fine dance and a very fine balance.
I know.
Because we are all, as part of the universal family in universal wisdom, we are all learning how to build bridges, because we really need to come together.
Yes.
To heal.
Absolutely. Yes.
To bring peace. And that's the greatest vision, you know. As children, in growing up in the villages that we come from, we've always been taught about aloha and ohana, our family, kuleana, the responsibility of taking care of ourselves so that we can take care of our family, our community, and from there it goes. And the seed of it is the taproot of love, is this essence of aloha. And, you know, as things began to change, where so many different people come to Hawaii, whether they move here and never want to leave, or they, you know, they come for whatever reason, and it's not only Hawaii people, that in itself, the teachings of Ram Dass, the teachings of Aloha, and all the magnificent ones, this is most important as well, that we got to figure out how to get along. And so I believe Ram Dass being here really helped us navigate that. For me personally, as a Native Hawaiian, carrying all the baggage that I come with too. And it's really helped me unify and understand what my ancestors taught me about aloha, to love all.
Mm.
About aloha, forgive. Aloha, to speak truth from a place that does not harm.
Yes.
You know, speak without deliberately harming another. Aloha without judgment. Aloha building the bridge. Aloha with dignity. But it goes to and from. This kind of connection. Yeah. And it's about this balance, this harmony, being in harmony with aloha, because if you're not in harmony, then it's not it.
Yeah. I was thinking about Hawaii being, or Maui being, the healing island. And bringing into balance is, I wanted to ask you about healing, although you may have said it all just now, but that, you know, when Ram Dass came there, he had just had this, recently had this massive stroke.
Right.
Hardly anybody lives very long after that kind of stroke. And as we know, he lived another 20 years or so. And, yeah. You know, we always said, and he always said, you know, it's the healing island, you know. That's why, of course, he had, you know, he was carrying many blessings, but that he was able to live so long and to live, he had lots of pain and problems, but he basically enjoyed still being in his body all those years. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if you'd say something about, specifically about how healing is understood in indigenous Hawaiian wisdom. And I also want to say that you two have just been on a long chapter of healing yourselves after being in that terrible car accident. So it's with you in your body right now.
I want to speak about what she just about Ram Dass mm-hmm. and healing, and then I can add to you.
It really is the inner healing for me. Understanding that everything starts from the inside out. And that's the last choice we get to make, right? To leave our body, I believe. Mm-hmm. And he just wanted to stick around because he knew his kids needed help. Yes. And he said, they need help. I'm going to stay a little longer. Mm-hmm. So all of us, right, got to be fed and be reminded. And for us to remember and trust that we already know this.
Yes.
It's the inner healing. And then the outer healing will happen. It's healing the mind on all the levels, how we, you know, the polarity, right? Right, wrong, good, bad, blah, 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 blah. And all the, it's embracing the whole spectrum of love. That's what love is. Embracing the whole spectrum, non-judgment, integration, right? We go out, we teach, how much of that teaching do we live? Right, the authentic part. So I'm so grateful that he stayed that this long to help us jump over the tea leaf, get to this space where we are this moment speaking with you, Mirabai. Because, you know, 20 years ago, no, lots of judgment, lots of judgment. So I want to be that way sure, like he was, like he is. He's still here.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to be that way sure that looks into the eyes of people or others and acceptance and allowance. And speaking about the accident. So we got into they'd call it a major car accident. But all the angels were with us because why? We sitting here today talking to you.
Yes.
Our
looking wonderful.
Totaled. So it was like crash, bam, boom. Wow. We walked out of there.
In
fact, the paramedic said, this is amazing. I've not seen people walk out of accidents like this.
Wow.
And I'm going to share a private moment. It's personal, actually. So after before the accident driving, I literally saw this truck in slow motion, coming straight for us. And then I knew that we were going to get in a crash. I didn't say anything. I just relaxed into the moment. And this truck hit us. Okay. And then when it hit us, the impact, I was present. And then it hit the front of the truck, our truck. And so a truck hitting a truck. And then it spun us a little bit. And Leo, who was on the passenger side, and then it hit her side.
Oh.
Okay. So she got the brunt of the impact. We spit, we span around, came to a halt. And I was like, oh my, we got hit. Leohu, get out of the truck now because I see smoke coming out of that engine. Then I realized she couldn't move. And I was struggling to get my seatbelt out. I finally got it off. And then my phone was right there. Okay. I said, oh my God, my phone is right here. 911. Hello. I just got into an accident. Can you send? Yes, we need everything, please. She kept me on the phone for a good 5 minutes asking me questions. How's your partner? What is she? All the important questions. So Angels was in our field the whole time. Okay. So, in fact, I was still on the phone. The ambulance was there. Then this guy was talking to Leo. He came. I was going to walk around and check on her. He says, I'm a doctor. I was behind you guys. I saw the whole thing.
Oh.
So he took care of her, right? So in the meantime, the fire guys come. They unhook all the stuff from the engine, and, you know, so that it wasn't really on fire, but there was smoke. And the police officer was kind, you know, and I was like worried about the other drivers. And then I realized that it was a young lady and she was on the side of the road. Three of them were in the truck. They appeared not to be hurt at all. They refused any kind of attending physician help. One was hysterical. And then the paramedic said, she's going to the hospital. You can decide if you want to go to the hospital. He said, but you know what? I think you should go and check anyway, because you know, things were hurting.
Yeah.
But I was like, my adrenaline was like, no, you can't hurt now. No. So he said, go to the hospital. So we both got into the ambulance. We went to the hospital. Wow. The Angels, I tell you. The hospital was so clean. I was like, wow. Thanks to COVID. Okay. So we both had our rooms. They already called the information in. By the time we got there, they had our bracelets ready. Okay. So I don't know how many went in her room, maybe 10, but 5 came into my room, you know, taking all the vitals, blah, what they do, take care of you. And I was like, wow, I'm in this hospital right now, but I'm feeling okay. Just a little bit pain. Then an hour goes by. We're waiting for test results. And then I'm thinking, oh my, I hope Leo's okay, because she was really not well. But the blessing, yeah, is nothing broken, no internal bleeding, organs all okay. Huh? Only the head lay. Well, she was on morphine, so I don't know. She was on a trip. And I would like for Leohu to share this one moment in the hospital. Mm-hmm. But just one moment.
Okay.
Just one moment. The doctor asked you.
Oh, yeah.
If you were.
Okay. So, yeah, you know how it is. So they're all doing their thing and cutting your... taking everything out and everything. Going through all the tests, but like towards the end, he just said, they're asking you constantly, what's your name, your date of birth, blah, blah, blah. And then here's a question. Are you pregnant? I'm lying there, right? I'm lying there like, oh my God. It was so sore. Are you pregnant? I paused. I played Ram Dass. I paused and I went, yes, I'm pregnant with gratitude. When I said, I'm pregnant with gratitude, and the whole staff, they actually heard that. All the emergency staff, they roared. They started to laugh. And they said, we've never heard that before. Then I said, Doc, look at me. Come on. Am I pregnant? Yes, I'm pregnant with gratitude.
And then that just is great.
You know what's interesting? You know, after that, like, we just decided we're just going to shut down and wellness. So it's been really good.
A blessing.
And, you know, we've been really blessed. But it's interesting because we get comments, oh, your karma. Mike even had to bring that up. You know, that's where people go. They go to the karma and they judge just because you're in an accident. You know, what did you do wrong or whatever it is? You better go explore that karma. And I find that so interesting because I don't see karma as negative.
Mm-hmm. No.
Because it's a blessing.
Yep.
It's a total blessing, embracing all of duality. But it's so interesting where a lot of our friends went straight there, dissecting our life. And at the same time, you know, Maydeen told me, Leohu, I think we saved those women's lives because they would have gone right over into someplace else.
Over a cliff.
So you don't know how you're going to be in service, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
What a way to be in service. But, you know, this is the second car accident for me where I've been hit on that side. And it's like, wow, it's really a very deep process of integration and forgiveness and love and compassion. Mm. So, you know, we talk about all the cherry things in our life, you know, but there are moments like this of such depth, like an accident like this, with all the angels and witnessing as you're going through this, all the positive things that happen along. That's all we focused on, was all the positive. And yes, our bodies were really, it's been a while to recuperate, but we're feeling so much better now. But I think that's the same thing that Ram Dass, he had.
Absolutely.
He had aphasia.
Yes. Yeah, he chose fierce grace.
He was in the wheelchair. And of course, people say, oh, your karma. Oh, this, that. They're trying to dissect a man's soul journey without even knowing what he decided to do when he came to earth. Mm-hmm. He had his instructions. Yeah. And so when we speak of healing, we cannot judge anything. Yeah. We can only surrender. And I remember Ram Dass saying, the stroke didn't get me. I'm still soul. Mm-hmm. I'm still a soul in service.
Yes.
And I think that's the key, the loving key that unlocks a portal into tremendous healing. And so from, I know from a Hawaii standpoint, understanding that love, aloha, in all its ways is the key to everything. That's where we surrender. And yes, we can go on and on about our prayers, our connection to land, connection to the multiverses, connection. It's the same thing for Ram Dass. And I think that's what we were able to come together, that somehow these energies and all the many energies, the collective energies of whoever came in service to him, because he had a beautiful team of caregivers.
Yes, he did. Still does.
Beautiful team of prayers, a beautiful team of medical, everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Looking and he chose, his soul knew this and his soul chose this. And his soul and his willingness to show us the way home into our loving surrender to love ourselves was one of the greatest gifts around healing. So we come to help him heal. He heals us.
Yes.
that is so clear to me. So, you know, he always looked at as best as he could, because there were moments when, you know, he was struggling, but he always took a breath, and he always made a joke, and he always surrendered to that, the soul of his journey. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that to me, it is just a tremendous gift to be able to at least kiss this man, to touch him, to be in his orbit of life.
Yes.
Till now.
Yes.
It's he's gifted us so much. And so, you know, what do? We do what we can. Yeah. We move every experience towards the arc of aloha to transition into the visions that are coming for peace. And that is why so many people, I know that many times we don't want to share our island with non-Hawaiians.
Yeah.
But that is why they come.
Yes.
Because aloha is alive.
Yes.
We cannot crack it. We cannot burn it away. We cannot do anything but be what it is. And this is a reminder for each of us in every land, every culture, every breath. It is this love that is so vital to us creating a new architecture for our global wellness. Wow. Our global way.
Yes.
This is the way.
Quality. Wow.
This is the way. You know, all what we have built that ain't serving, bye-bye. It's gone already. Yeah. It's gone. We know this. I know it.
Yeah.
I know it in my bones. And part of the accident, you know, the July 6th, part of that beautiful remembrance was knowing that somehow energy had to just go to be replaced in a unified way of serving, continuing to serve, continuing to honor and respect the dignity of all life everywhere. You know, any way we can do that is going to heighten the global path, the global collective. So, I mean, that's what this podcast to me is about, is supporting that and all the diversity of us coming together. You know, we're just two voices, but two voices with a third voice, with a fourth voice, there's something that is created. And we're the template of, you know, original instructions that are being created, that are being dreamed. And these are visions that my kupuna, our kupuna taught us from before. We had one picture of it, but now we get a little bit more. We're not just seeing, you know, black or white. Mm-hmm. We're seeing multiple colors.
Yeah.
You know, we're not seeing life or death. We're seeing life forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, it's exciting, really.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm more excited now than...
than an hour ago. Me too. No, we don't have much time left. Do you want to... I mean, we could just bask for a while. But I was thinking you might want to do a little bit of chanting, but not necessary, whatever you think.
I can do a chant. Okay.
Let's do that together.
Okay.
Yeah.
You feel okay about that?
But you want to explain first?
Well, I don't know how much to explain about
it. Okay. Here's a chant. It's called Eho Mai.
So Eho Mai, Kaike Mai, Luna Mai, is grant us. Or the chanter, the speaker, grant us the
understanding
or wisdom, information, things that we don't know but we know exist.
In this now moment.
In this now
our
moment.
Intention.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, and then Okay. Let's just do
And it's a chant written by Auntie Edith Kanaka Ole in 1966.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful, simple chant, but it is infinite and powerful. And it is a reminder that sometimes, you know, we think, you know, sometimes when we're asked, you know, what is love, or I know what is love, or how do I say this? Sometimes we say, oh, I practice, you know, it's another practice to learn and deepen something. And sometimes when we repeat prayers over and over, we might have said it a billion times, but it is still mana and power in a prayer. And so what this chant asks is to show us and to reveal, to teach us what we need in this now moment with the intention of this podcast, or being, you know, walking each other home, or being loving servants in a ever-changing world. Okay.
Nice.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Start.
What key? E o mai kai ke mai luna mai e O na mea huna no e au O na mele e E ho mai E ho mai E ho mai E ho mai kai ke mai luna mai e O na mea huna o iau O na mele e E ho mai E ho mai E ho mai Kai ke mai runa mai e O nā mea huna noi au O nā mele e ho mai E ho mai E ho mai Yeah.
I can't thank you enough.
Thank you, love.
Oh, that was so, so wonderful. Really, at every level. Yeah. Thank you so much. We're honored.
Thank you, sister. Yes.
Love you. Love you.
Love you. I hope to see you soon.
I do, too.
Great. Great.
Aloha.
Aloha. Aloha.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. With social gatherings picking up now that spring is here, it can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin. So what's the right amount of socializing for you? Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. It's a great way to build relationship skills, figure out your goals, and so much more. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/BeHereNow today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/BeHereNow.